as I mentioned, this Mass is a votive Mass in honor of the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say a little bit more about that before we get to the readings. First of all, it is First Friday and we honor the Sacred Heart. I think of this as being another way of honoring the heart of Jesus. Naturally, when we honor the Sacred Heart, we think of his love and mercy. And when we honor his blood, we think of his sacrifice. But it's all one vast mystery. So the precious blood. Another reason why I chose this votive Mass is because the month of July is traditionally dedicated to devotion to the precious blood. The month of June, dedicated to honoring the Sacred Heart. The month of July, to honoring the precious blood. Before the changes in the liturgical calendar, there was a feast day in honor of the precious blood, July 1st, yesterday. So I didn't think of it yesterday, so since I thought of it last night, I said, well, let's honor the precious blood today. As soon as we open our hearts to this devotion, we think of all the ways that blood is represented in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, there's blood all over the place. If you think of it, all the animal sacrifices that are noted in the Old Testament, that was the way of honoring God, was to sacrifice animals. When a covenant was made, there was a lot of blood shed. And in particular, we think of the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the blood that saved the Israelites in Egypt. That all those mentions of blood in the scriptures are all prefigurations of the blood of Christ. Or you could say the blood of Christ is the fulfillment of all those signs. It's an instruction to us that we are not saving ourselves by our goodness. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're given this saving bath in spite of our unworthiness, not because of our worthiness. And this is an important thing to keep in mind, that salvation comes from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It doesn't come from us. We have to accept it, yes. We have to put our faith in him. But it doesn't start with us being good. It starts with God's goodness poured out on us. Well, St. Matthew never forgot this lesson. In today's gospel, he tells the story of his own vocation. Matthew's gospel, call of Matthew, the tax collector. Why did Jesus call Matthew of all people? I mean, he was a tax collector. He was obviously unqualified, disqualified because of his disreputable lifestyle. Matthew knew it had nothing to do with him. It was purely mercy. It was purely Jesus' decision. Matthew was taken by surprise. Follow me. Me?
Me?
Yeah, you. Why? No explanation. Because the blood of Christ is shed for sinners. This frees us from our natural tendency to protect ourselves from accusations that we're sinners, or to deny that we're sinners, or to defend ourselves. We all have this tendency when someone accuses us. Our first tendency is, no, that wasn't me, no. I didn't take it, I didn't do it, I didn't say that. Or we might say, yeah, I took it, but that's because of this and because of that. We have all the rationalizations. But the fact is, we're sinners, and we don't have any any excuse. So Matthew is an example to us of someone who knows that he was called purely by virtue of God's mercy. And that's why he puts this in his gospel. When the Pharisees complain about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, like, who would want to eat with them? Who would want anything to do with them? And Jesus picks up on it and says, I didn't come for healthy people. I didn't come for people who were already okay. I came for sick people, sinners. I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. Matthew's one of them. So am I. So are you. So that's part of rejoicing in the gift of the precious blood, that God came to shed his blood for sinners. In the first reading, we hear the account of the choice of a wife for the son of Abraham, Isaac. This might seem completely unrelated to the precious blood or anything to do with mercy. It's just a story of how Isaac got a wife. But we're to read this story in light of God's good plan for his people. In modern times, people choose their own spouses. They decide who to marry. And we wouldn't think that it could ever be otherwise. But for most of history, people didn't choose their own spouses. Their spouses were chosen for them, usually by the family. And that's the case. Abraham says he has to find a wife for his son. Doesn't ask Isaac about it. He just assumes Isaac has to have a wife because God promised that Abraham would have countless descendants. So since he has only one son, Isaac has to have a lot of children, or at least has to start the next generation, so he has to have a wife. Just common sense. Now, in modern times, people choose their own spouses, and usually somewhere down the road, they think they made the wrong choice. They say, oh, I picked the wrong one. And that's why divorce has entered into the picture. People say, well, since I made a mistake, I'll get rid of that one, get another one. Disregarding the plan of God, disregarding the possibility that the one that was chosen was not just chosen by me, but by God. Marriage is much bigger than the husband and the wife, or even the two families. This is God's plan. So this comes out more clearly in the case of Isaac, because we don't read all the details, but the servant of Abraham goes back to the land that Abraham came from to find a wife. We don't read this, but on the way he's saying, well, how am I going to figure out who it is? So he prays to God and says, give me a sign that the woman that I find is actually the right one. Well, if you know the story, he meets Rebecca at a well, and he says to the Lord, if the woman that I meet offers to water my camels, which is a pretty big job to water camels, well then, I'll take it as a sign that she's the one. So he meets Rebecca. Rebecca gives him a drink. Then she says, well, let me water your camels. Of course, the servant is blown away. But the very thing that he asked for, it happened, the sign. And then he finds out, he has no idea who this woman is, finds out that she's a relative of Abraham. She's from the same clan. And so the servant is sure, this is the one. This is definitely the one. Puts a big ring in her nose. You know, cultural meaning behind it, I suppose. Anyway, so that's the story. What I think we can take from this is another reminder that God has good in store for us. He has a good plan for us. It's not simply that we have to figure out what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to make things work out. We belong to God. We're stumbling along as sinners, and God in his mercy arranges things for us. Now, no one here had an arranged marriage, I suppose, but in a certain sense, you did. God arranged for you to marry the person that you married in his own mysterious providence. And this is all part of reflecting on this precious blood of Christ. We are helpless, we are ignorant, we are weak, we're undeserving sinners, and yet God enriches us, pours forth abundance of love and mercy on us, feeds us, washes us, clothes us, chooses us as his bride for an eternal wedding feast. This is what we celebrate when we celebrate the Mass. This is a wedding banquet, and we ourselves are the bride.